So hello and welcome to Riga Business School Bottom Line Studio podcast, where we interview Riga Business School alumni and try to extract from them their professional experience and learnings. And my name is Elina Tiliba, and I'm the host of today's episode. And with me in the studio today is Riga Business School MBA alumnus and business development manager at Sadalas Tīkls, Haralds Millers. And the topic of today's conversation will be on energy sector changes and how these changes impact other sectors. But before we go in today's topic, I would like you to introduce yourself a little bit to our viewers and listeners and maybe share about your professional journey, how it started, and how did you get where you are today. So the floor is yours.
Okay. Hi, Elin. Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me. Energy sector, obviously, when I was growing up, wasn't the thing I was dreaming about when I was growing up. It sort of happened for me because after high school, I had pretty good grades. So I wanted to go inside entrepreneurship, finance or economics. But at that time, I consulted one of my members, mentors, who was a close family member of mine, and he said to go study engineering. You can always add your education, master's, for the entrepreneurship side. So I went to RTU, finished bachelor's there, finished master's there, and while I was in bachelor's, I already started working in more in energy construction projects. The largest one for me was a CHP reconstruction, CHP2 reconstruction in Riga. After that, I had some experience in sales and then in product management and now in new business development.
Okay. And if you look back at your professional journey from your today's perspective, where you are ready today, maybe what is some piece of advice you would like to give your younger self?
Okay, definitely would be pace myself, because after high school, you want to do everything at once. Like you want to study, you want to still have those hobbies you had in high school and work. And that takes a lot of time. It's stressful. It's mentally stressful also. So I would say pace yourself, enjoy the process, enjoy the learning, go on Erasmus, enjoy the working, enjoy the colleagues around you, enjoy the project. And yeah, that will be more valuable for you in the long run.
Okay. And have you learned to enjoy the process now better?
I would say kind of, but yeah, I have learned from my mistakes.
Okay. And so far, what do you consider as your most exciting project you have been part of in your career?
Okay, I have worked on many quite large projects, I think, and important ones, but I would say that the experience I'm most grateful about is the one I have received in last 3 years, because of the energy crisis, and I was managing a quite important product, which is electricity and natural gas for household segment. And that experience in that short time, I think, is quite well valuable, and probably I wouldn't receive such a experience in the whole lifespan of my working career if there wasn't for such a situation.
Okay. And as we are starting to slowly transition in our today's topic, I'm just curious how exactly like your daily workday looks like.
Okay. Obviously, every morning starts with planning. Not only morning, usually it's on a Monday or on a Sunday's evening. I plan my whole week. Then in the morning, I plan the whole day, what I'm going to do, if I have any meetings or I have any emails or something like that, and then we go with the flow. If something changes, just adjust and so on.
Okay. And so far in your career, what do you see as maybe some leadership challenges that you have experienced, and maybe also how you have overcome them?
Yeah, I think the problem that I see, not only for me, but also working with large projects that has many stakeholders or parties inside the project, is that there are parties or stakeholders that are not informed about the project or product or something, some changes, especially if it is something new. So I think that it's quite important for the leader or the project manager to take everyone in, like, whether it's a kickoff meeting or something else, and to say why this is important, why are we doing this, why are we here, and what is each of us, our roles here. So I think these are the main leadership mistakes that I have seen for myself and I have seen for others. But I think the solution is probably just speaking out and telling the importance for the project and for each of the member.
Okay, and if we go already in the today's topic, energy crisis, such loud words. Maybe you could, in your own words, just describe what are the main changes the energy sector has faced in these last
couple of years. I'll maybe divide this question in two parts. One will be this energy crisis that has happened for like 3 years now, because of the increase of prices, Russia invading Ukraine. And I won't focus on that as much as maybe on the energy transition part. Okay, then if we want to talk about this, then I'll give a small intro about you know that there are like many megatrends that are happening around the world that change behavior, how we work, how businesses work, how people consume things, etc., like AI, digitalization, etc. One of these is global warming. For example, there are estimates that if we consume everything as we do now, and businesses work as they do now, the environment will, the temperature will increase by one degree Celsius. Yeah, and that's why. Currently, Europe is making this policy called the Green Deal. It's they've been working for this deal like since 2019, and basically what it means, it's reducing the greenhouse gases till 2015, so we are climate neutral, taking a baseline in the year 1990. What it means, there are many tasks and that needs to be done, but I think the largest focus is on energy efficiency, how we use energy, and focusing on electrification, basically use more electrical products than products that use other type of fuels, and emit more greenhouse gases, and switch to more renewable energy generation. And so yeah, these are the main things that have been happening at the moment. What else I wanted to tell you?
Actually, I have a question. If
please.
Yeah. So how is Latvia currently doing with implementing these requirements, which which Europe has set for us.
Yeah, actually, Latvia is doing pretty well at the moment because we kind of had a pretty good starting point because of the renewable sources that we have, Daugava, because we are producing a lot of energy from it. But we still have a lot of work to do because, for example, for electrical vehicles, still we're way back comparing us ourselves to, for example, Norway, Netherlands, and etc. But currently, the new Ministry of Environment and Energy is making a climate plan, and it will basically have this strategy, how will each industry implement these changes so we can reach this goal to be climate neutral by 2050.
Okay, and what are the main changes for the industries this implies?
I think the most, we have to divide, we have to look at five main sectors, which are households, transportation, manufacturing and construction, energetics as itself, and other sectors. Because each of it has slightly different changes to implement. Because, for example, transportation sector uses a lot of energy, fuels, oil fuels such as gasoline, diesel, etc. So their main focus would be to switch to more friendly vehicles such as electrical vehicles. But if we look at other sectors such as construction, manufacturing and households, then the main factor for energy use is that they use a lot of heat. That means that we need to find the tools resources. We need to produce heat with more sustainable from more sustainable sources. For example, that's why I mentioned electrification. For example, if we heat our household with firewood, then it would probably would be wisely to switch to heat pumps to use electricity. Obviously, it's a costly process, but I think there would be in hand some EU these grants, etc. So,
Okay, and what do you currently see as the biggest challenges for these sectors as they're implementing these changes necessary?
Well, I think if we look at the long run, the target is 2050. Probably we will have new technologies. Capital will be there. But the problems will be with the human capital or our people, because currently in Latvia's population is 1.9 million people. The estimates for 2030 is I think 1.7 million people, and for 2050 it's only 1.3. So the population is not only decreasing, but they're also getting older. Another factor is that less and less young people are studying science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, which are most commonly used these knowledge are most commonly used to develop new products and use this transformation. So this will be a high problem because all these companies, all these implementers will fight for the same capital, human capital.
Okay, and as I'm assuming that yes, there are some business owners who are watching us, some potential students, but all of us, we are like individual people. So, yeah. So what do you see as the main things that maybe individuals and each one of us should prepare in the future?
Yeah, I think that all of us learned a lot from the last 2 or 3 years because the utility bills were quite high. Let's say more. That means that we have to take in account that there will be we have to if we are buying or implementing things in our homes or daily lives, we have to think more sustainable. For example, for how long I will use this product, or for how long I will I don't know, for or how let's say
sustainable.
Well, the first thing is, for example, if I'm buying a home, I have to see what kind of heat is there. Can I implement something new there, more sustainable? Mm-hmm. Because to reach these goals, probably each of us will pay some kind of increase in taxation, probably will be implemented by government, or so we have to think more sustainably in and more in the future. So implement more, newer technologies that are more efficient, consume less energy, and are more environmentally friendly. So I think this would be the main advice I would give.
Okay, and from one part this all seems logical, but still on the other side I still see that let's say a lot of people are still thinking about just more about today rather than okay, so
yeah, of course,
how can we live more sustainably for the future? So I don't know, maybe what are your ideas, how could we increase this general awareness for people that it is really important to think long term?
Well, I think that companies have really done a good job for the last 2 years putting out information about what's inside their electricity bills, what's inside their utility bills, etc. How energy markets work, why are we there? So I think information is there in the media, in social networks. We just have to find it, read it, and use our critical thinking to be more aware about these things happening right now and to plan ahead. Because it's easy to live for the moment, but you know, when these situations as last 2 years come, then this is where preparation helps.
Okay, and as you are also following the trends and following the technologies,
mm-hmm.
and if you imagine the craziest future,
okay,
with the technology,
crazier than now.
Yes, crazier than now, taking into account all the artificial intelligence and technologies. So what do you see, for example, in energy sector, let's say in 20 years, the craziest possibilities that come to your mind?
Well, AI is definitely a big trend now, and it will be for foreseeable future, but for energy sector also it will be a huge it will have a huge impact. I don't know about 20 years, but I probably see that where AI comes in place is the efficiency, how we use how efficiently we use for example our energy resources, at what time we do it. For example, when the electricity prices are low, we charge our electrical vehicles, do it more efficiently. For example, heating our home when the prices are low, or then the use combining them with solar panels, etc. Having these more solutions come together in using some kind of tool made from AI, I would say.
Okay. And can you share maybe some very practical things you yourself are doing on your daily basis, or maybe some very also practical examples? Okay, let's start with you. Maybe you, what exactly you are doing, and maybe what you know some successful other people successfully are using, what technologies?
Currently for energy transition?
Yes.
Well, I'm not the best example, but if we talk about the companies that are good examples, they are really focusing on energy efficiency. They are applying newer technologies remotely working with their resources, and also implementing the newer technologies for producing electricity, like solar panels, buying or even building themselves plants. So these are the main trends I see that companies do.
Mm. Okay.
They're more or less thinking sustainably for foreseeable future, because it's also not only they benefited from financially, but also people see that, okay, they are environmentally friendly, it's a factor for me, so I'll probably buy products more from them than from their competitors that aren't doing so well.
Okay, so before we close this topic, is there anything else important that you would like to share
about energy? Just I would say just to read news, be aware about the things that are happening in the world, just use the information that is from reliable sources, you can plan ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, you mentioned an important thing. So how can we actually know if a source is reliable? Because I know a lot of cases where people are actually, consuming not the best sources and the best information, not specifically in this sector, but I guess that's an issue here as well.
Yeah, probably Facebook wouldn't be the best place to search for advices, but mostly the largest companies in energy sector put on the information that is happening there. For example, I know that Latvenergo is each week is putting on a small video about what is happening in energy markets. Where is it moving? Where it will be in a year or two, and updating the information for example each week. So each of the largest energy companies are giving out the information. So start there, and I think it will be enough.
Okay. So as we are coming slowly to the closure of today's episode, let's explore a little bit your relation with the Riga Business School.
Okay.
So, if you look back at your studies, so what is that which you enjoy the most?
Well, there are several things. I think the most thing I enjoyed the most was the networking. Because usually when we come to university want to take an MBA degree, we think, okay, knowledge one, the degree is quite cool also, but we don't take into account that there's also a lot of people that want the same thing. And the networking is the best added value to the degree that you can have here. Because after graduation, you have this diverse understanding of other industries, obviously not in depth, but what is happening in each company, who is working where, what kind of problems each has. So these are discussed basically in case studies here. I think that's quite good. Yeah, a benefit adding to the degree.
Mm. Okay, and if you look at the learning subjects, maybe share which were your favorite subjects, and also maybe if you are using some of the knowledge that you gained also in your career currently?
Yeah, I think one of the most interesting subjects was Egli Discourse, Power and Influence. I don't know, do you have it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it gives you a lot of information about how to work with subordinates, how to work with peers, what takes them. So basically, you know how to approach them, how to ask the right questions. If there's a problem and you see, okay, maybe that's not the problem, to ask so some questions, to look from a different angle, to a perspective. Yeah. And of course, this is why I took quite many books from that course for extra reading. So I use it daily. I'm not using it daily, but I when I see something happening, I say, okay, that's that.
Mm. Okay, so basically that gave you more understanding of day-to-day office things that
yeah,
are happening.
Yeah, it's soft skills, but mm. they are really important for a daily work life.
Mm. Okay, and if somebody maybe currently listening or watching us is thinking of studying here at RBS, what would you say, or what would you suggest them?
Go for it. Yeah, because RBS is definitely one of the best business schools here in the region, in this region. I think the advantages are many, not only the degree, the best professors, because they are also professionals in their own field. Obviously, the networking, because people that are interested in this degree are also kind of high achievers and want to receive more. So you get these valuable networking experiences. The program is always developing. I know that there's many IT background related courses added, which I think would be quite beneficial for me now also to take them. And I think the main key factors. And also there's a mentoring program which I highly recommend, because I have participated in it, and I still have good connections with my mentor. So use it. That's it.
Okay, so as we are closing our today's episode, any last thoughts, anything you want to share to our viewers and listeners?
Can't imagine something that's not already said. But if you want to study here, go for it. There's open days where you can receive information. And if we look at the energy sector, there probably will be a lot of changes. Watch news, take quality information, and plan accordingly.
Okay, so thank you, Haralds, for the conversation today, and for those who enjoyed this episode, you can find many more in Riga Business School YouTube channel, and also on podcast streaming apps under the name of Bottomline Studio Podcast. So thank you, and see you in the next episode.
Okay. Bye.